love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam, hands-free, from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid, top of the hour, 1 o'clock East, 12 Central, wherever you're watching. Thanks for making our show a part of your day. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, 2 hours of Fantasy Sports Talk. It's our second hour of the show. We're recapping the Super Bowl, of course, and talking about everything else happening in sports. And Davis, an interesting weekend for me. It was quite busy. I had an anniversary on Saturday night, but before that, golfing in the morning, golfing in the afternoon for a birthday party for my son, and then a two-hour fathers and wives, by the way, fathers and mothers versus sons Little League scrimmage. So I played second base and first for 2 hours in addition to doing all the other things that I just mentioned. So it was a very, I would say, eventful weekend for me. And I came out of it, by the way, feeling pretty good. Like, usually I come out of those games, I can't walk for a couple days, you know? But here I am, pushing 50, Davis. Made it through. Pushed through. Got to Super Bowl comfortable. Everything was good.
Well, how'd you shoot? I mean, that's the most important question, right? How'd you shoot? Did you make some birdies?
My son just played the lesson in the morning. But I played at Top Golf, right? I played at Top Golf.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I hit okay. I hit okay. My son probably hit better than me. But I had a few long drives. I looked good. I felt good out there. Not bad.
All right. Well, there we go. Yeah. We have Top Golf. It's been so cold here. I've not been able to get out and play, but I've been itching to, itching to get out there. 'Cause I have my bachelor party coming up and we have a nice golf weekend booked. Also had the Scottie Scheffler 28-1 ticket at the Waste Management. Mm. So it was a really good Sunday in the Matic nice household. We talked about that with Jim Sanis from Number Fire in our preview last week. I think Jim will be back on again with us this weekend. And Ian Rapoport did just confirm that the Rams believe Odell Beckham Jr. did in fact tear his ACL last night. So that is that's a big bummer for Odell.
So a torn ACL normally is like 9 months. For Cam Akers, it was 5. So I'm guessing this is somewhere in between. I suppose we can expand this conversation real quick because it's a pretty big story. If indeed that is the case that NFL Network has, it would pretty much be right up against, what would you say, Davis, like September? Like, it would really put him right up against the start of a season, I would guess.
You know, I mean, Cam Akers tore his Achilles and came back in 6 months. So at this point, I'm not doubting these guys, right? I just like, and Odell, you know, say whatever you want about him. You know, some people don't like Odell. I used to hate Odell when he was a Giant, and I've done the 180. But, you know, he knows that football is his livelihood. I expect, you know, same for Gallup too, by the way, you know, these wide receiver, Robert Woods as right. well. I think we might be surprised. Like, of those three guys with the torn ACLs I just mentioned, I would not be surprised if one of them was back or maybe even multiple of them are back, you know, playing preseason games or whatever. Like the advances that modern medicine has made with these knee injuries, these lower body injuries, it is unbelievable. Even 5 years ago, right? Five years ago, ACL, 12 months, you're back in a year. Then right. Hunter Henry, and welcome to everyone radio here on Sports Grid, Davis Mack and Craig Mish with you, recapping the Super Bowl and talking about Odell Beckham's, we think it's confirmed ACL knee injury, but you know, what was it? 4 years ago, Hunter Henry came back in 8 months from his ACL, mm-hmm. and because he had torn his in the preseason. So we're getting to a stage where ACL is more of like a 6, 7, 8 months injury, which is, it's unbelievable, really.
Yeah. So, opening day, certainly, I mean, with the Rams playing the first game of the season, has to be somewhat in jeopardy, but you're right. There's a chance that, I guess, that he could play. We'll see. But let's get to the rest of our headlines here on the show. Of course, by now, if you're watching a show like ours, you realize that the Los Angeles Rams ended up winning the Super Bowl yesterday. Of course, we have the Warriors and Clippers highlighting tonight's 9-game slate. Oklahoma State will take on Kansas in college basketball tonight. And Norman Powell, unfortunately, for the Los Angeles Clippers, is going to be out with a fractured foot. But Davis, I guess that's the kind of the good news here is, you know, 9 games in the NBA tonight. It's time to fire up some DFS lineups, which I guess we're going to do coming up.
Yep, it's about that time. You know, this is also the NBA's getting very serious. And, you know, a lot of the time in the NBA, we deal with silly season, right? Guys are resting. The teams don't care at the end. Your guys you've never played ever hurting. Can't do it this year because the Nets and the Lakers right now are in the play-in. The Clippers are in the play-in right now. There are teams that are expected to be very good that have not won a ton of games. And also everything is so tight in the Eastern Conference, it might take into the last week of the season to know who the one seed is. I mean, if you go on a 3-game losing streak to end the year, you might go from the one seed to the 4 seed. I mean, right now it's basically the one seed in the East changes every single night. So I think we are going to have a good finish to the NBA regular season.
Speaking of which, real quick, is Kawhi Leonard playing this season? I have not even heard his name.
There was a report 2 weeks ago that he is further away than the team had hoped and that it's probably unlikely we see him this year.
That's crazy. All right. Well, so much for modern advances on that side of the NBA. We will come back and take a look at tonight's 9-game NBA slate. Davis is going to help you set a lineup over on DraftKings. So stay on the grid. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We're off and running here in hour two. Don't go away.
Great. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew in a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig and Davis back here with you, of course, with the NFL season now in the rearview mirror. And there's always things to talk about with football. Primarily, though, for us here on the show, especially over the next couple of weeks with baseball, you know, just punching themselves in the face constantly, the NBA is going to take full force. And I know, Davis, that the All-Star break is coming up this week. But if I'm not mistaken, we still have a few days of NBA games before we get to that point, and then some fun stuff, dunk contest, three-point contest, and so on.
Yep, I've always been someone who has not been a pessimist on the All-Star game. I'll watch it, the dunk contest, the three-point contest, I'll be there. But yeah, we'll have a bunch of games, right? Because they gotta cram them in before we get to the All-Star break. So we're gonna have a bunch of games to talk about this week. We'll get to see some of the guys traded to their new teams and playing. Some of the guys who have been traded are in our lineup that we will be discussing tonight. And also, it's neither here nor there, but I do just want to make a point that Domantas Sabonis has been very good since he was traded to the Kings. The immediate response of people was that they thought the trade was bad, and they get Domantas Sabonis. They win two games in a row. So just a little something to think about there.
Sacramento Kings, actually positive things saying about them. That's rare. Okay, so before we get to the nine-game slate and we get to the players, and by the way, over at Daily Roto, you can get all this information, but we review it for you once a day here on our show. What does the slate look like? Because normally when you and I are doing the show on Monday night, I'm always complaining because there's like four games, but it seems like there's a decent amount tonight.
Yeah, we have a slightly bigger slate that we are going to be handling tonight. There are also some key injury spots that we're dealing with. The Knicks are like out of point guards right now, and RJ Barrett is not playing, so they're really thin on the wing and in the backcourt. So we're going to see, you know, Quickly play. Burks is going to get in there. Lots of minutes for Fournier. I am expecting there's a decent chance the Milwaukee Bucks rest guys against the Trailblazers right now. So, you know, the Trailblazers have they're operating a skeleton crew with McCollum traded, Damian Lillard out, and trading all those guys away. And then also we have a bunch of injuries for the Chicago Bulls. So their backcourt is pretty thin as well. So there are definitely some value spots for us to mine tonight.
All right, so let's take a look at the starting lineup tonight. And this is, if you're setting a lineup, by the way, on DraftKings for tonight in Daily Fantasy. All right, Alec Burks, he is priced at 4,800. We got Cam Thomas at 5,700. Now, Lou Dort, Davis is going to tell you more about his situation because it looks like he's not going to play tonight. So we'll replace him for you before we wrap this up. 6,200 was his price. Domantas Sabonis, as Davis mentioned, off to a good start in Sacramento. So he is in the lineup tonight at 9,600 and then going on the cheap at center with Thomas Bryant at 4,800. So let's run through this and find a replacement for your guy, Lou Dort.
Yep. Unfortunately, my guy, Lou Dort, who has been playing very well for the Oklahoma City Thunder, 19 shots, 17 shots his last couple games, but he is not going to be playing tonight, which, by the way, should open up some value for them depending on who starts. I hope Alexei Pokusevsky ends up starting for them. I have my stack of PSA cards here with me. Got some Pokusevsky PSA 10s back. So we are definitely holding some of those bags. I think probably more likely, though, he will not start and Kenrick Williams will start. He's 4,500 and he will be an option for us. But Alec Burks, as I just mentioned, the Knicks are quite thin at point guard and the backcourt. Burks has been very good for them when he started at point guard in the past, so I really like him. The Brooklyn Nets, 11-game losing streak right now. Durant's out, Kyrie Irving's out. They're playing at home. Ben Simmons is out. Joe Harris is out. So they are their starting lineup is extremely thin. I think Cam Thomas and Seth Curry are going to be their starting backcourt tonight. Cam Thomas has been pretty good in these spots. He's got 32 and 36 minutes in a row, over 35 DraftKings points in each of his last two games. So really like him. As I just mentioned, Sabonis has been a very good member of the Kings up until this point. And who did the Brooklyn Nets, with none of their stars, play tonight? The Kings. They are home underdogs to the Sacramento Kings. Imagine telling yourself that 3 months ago. The Brooklyn Nets, home underdogs to the Sacramento Kings. So I like that spot for Sabonis. And then the Wizards traded away some of their center depth to get Kristaps Porzingis, and Porzingis has not played for them as of yet. He's got a hip injury right now. So Thomas Bryant getting about 22 minutes a night at center for them. They play against Detroit. Pretty good spot for Thomas Bryant.
All right. So that's the start of the lineup. Let's finish it out with a few more names. Again, you can find all this information for free, by the way, over at dailyrotor.com. Help you optimize your lineup in the NBA. I think I got this guy's name wrong last week. Let me try it again. Io Desumnu. Did I get it right this time or no?
I believe the N is silent. I think so. Well, and maybe I'm wrong, but I've just heard it say Io Desumnu, but Desumnu. That might be, I mean, that might be wrong, right?
Don't worry. I'll, when I come back, I'll get it wrong next time too. It's fine. All right. Seth Curry at 5,400 and Jonas Valanciunas at 7,700. So you sort of outlined this with Brooklyn situation. So that does make some sense. And how about the rest?
So the Io is probably my favorite guard play of the night. Levine is out. Lonzo is out. Caruso is out. Brett's guy, Kobe White, has been playing. But I'm just not a big Kobe White guy, I guess, is the kindest way I could say it. I think Io has been better than him this season. He had a near triple-double for them against Oklahoma City. And he has played 42 minutes in back-to-back games, 42 minutes in NBA game. That basically means he's taken two rests. Basically means he's resting once at the beginning of the second quarter, once at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and that's it. He is just out there, just playing those minutes. Also, I'm finding it hilarious that Seth Curry, of all people, guy's about 5'9", has small forward eligibility on DraftKings because of the way that the Nets have been playing with all of these injuries. But he is going to get his first start tonight, I imagine. And I think that he should probably do fairly well in that rotation for the Brooklyn Nets. He's gonna get his shots up. And it's a matchup against the Kings. Maybe the Nets are able to win. And then Joval, I'm probably gonna want to get Siakam now. Go cheaper at small forward with Dort out and get up to Siakam. But Valanciunas has been incredible for the Pelicans this season. Actually in a kind of a bad run right now, but has been getting up plenty of shots.
I didn't realize Brooklyn lost 11 in a row. That slipped by me, man. Like, I know they keep losing. And, I'm pulling some of the audio and the video, so I'm seeing that they keep losing. But I didn't realize it hit 11. That's just crazy.
Yeah, it is one of the most unbelievable happenstances in the NBA for a team with this much talent. And, it's bad timing. Harden gets hurt, quote-unquote, then gets traded. Kyrie can't play in the home games, and when you have, this is one of the things, you have a team with three stars, that means you're not going to be very deep. That means your roster is going to be mid-level exception, rookies, veteran minimum. So you miss one star, not that big of a deal. You miss two stars, it's not great, but at least you still have a star. You're missing all three stars, that probably means you're going to be losing lots of basketball games, and the Nets are certainly finding that out the hard way.
Definitely so. Well, we'll see when Ben Simmons plays. I think when we left last week on Friday, there were some reports that he was like ready to play right away. That didn't happen. There were also reports that Harden was ready to play right away. And meanwhile, neither guy plays. Like, this NBA is just crazy. These guys get traded. It's like, let me just take some more. Like, does Ben Simmons really need more time off before he plays? This guy hasn't played 3 months. I can't figure it all out. All right, coming up next. It's been tough with baseball. It has been really tough with baseball. But, folks, this is what we do on this show. We talk baseball. So it is time to get the ball rolling here as the NFL season is over. We can't wait for them. So we're going to move on and hit on some fantasy baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We're here until 2 o'clock Eastern. If you missed our show on Friday and the Sports Grid 60, you heard me ranting about hoping that there would be some good news for Major League Baseball on Saturday because I have scheduled time off for a week. I have my first week off since, I believe, June or July, and I was all pumped and excited to, reveal to my son, Davis, many months ago, look, As soon as the football season ends, I'll probably work one day after the Super Bowl, and then you and I are going to go on a trip. We are going to go around to all these spring training places. You're going to get to meet players. You're going to get autographs and everything else. And so that's not happening. So me, above all, I am angry. I am upset that spring training has not started because it ruined my plans for sure. And, I have my son asking me and trying to describe to him why this isn't happening, like why these people can't get together and do it. Now, I know that you and I see this a little bit differently. I fully believe the players are culpable also in this. And maybe this is just me, you know, speaking to different people in the entire thing. But look, the NFBC is proceeding on with their drafts. There are still a lot of free agents out there, Davis. And I personally, in good conscience, cannot put real money down. Not do like the, you and I could talk fantasy baseball, and I could be in the Razz Bowl, and I could be in these different fun, slow drafts and have a good time. But I personally cannot throw $500 into a season-long fantasy baseball draft with lists like we are going to be looking at today. I mean, this is not four or five guys. I mean, these are hundreds of players that are still free agents, and then not to mention like closers on teams that we're specifically using stats for. So I know that people want to put their best foot forward. We are certainly going to do that here on this show too. But in good conscience, my money that I love doing these things for, I am holding back until I know the end game with baseball scenario.
Yeah, I am not registering for the main event with my buddies until, like, you know, we actually get there. Like, until I know guys are spring training. And, like, there are so many injuries that are going to happen. And it just feels like a mess. Like, with baseball, I kind of feel like drafting later, closer to the season, is best anyways, because you have a better idea of, like, batting order. You have a better idea of, like, who's going to be a closer, who's healthy. You know, because how many pitchers are going to get injured in spring training, right? I mean, especially, by the way, if spring training gets ramped up and accelerated, that's going to be a problem for the pitchers. Because, again, right now, these guys are not with their team, so that means no beat writer stuff. So we don't know what kind of shape these guys are in. I mean, it's just a mess. So I'm with you. I can't start taking fantasy baseball super seriously. Now, for me, because I've had my nose so deep in the NFL for the last 6 months, this will be a great time for you and I to do some broad stroke stuff, because it'll be like, oh, this guy's on this team. Oh, I need to start thinking about this strategy element. You know, this is different from fantasy baseball last year. So it's like a good idea, I think, to start tackling some of this stuff, so I have a good knowledge base when we get there. But I'm not hopping in any drafts right now, no doubt about it.
Yeah, next week the Razz Slam begins, or the week after next, and then you know, we'll be here on the show. I'll go through some of the picks and, you know, sort of where the thinking is. And look, obviously I'm hopeful that things get worked out. The point that would derail fantasy for the regular season and canceling games and things like that basically comes in the next 10 days. So once that starts happening, then I mean, look, we're not at 2020, but we are approaching a different level of looking at things. But for right now, we press on. And look, when things get done with the lockout, it's going to be probably the most exciting time in all of baseball in 2022, because we're going to have a million big names signed fast and furious, and we're going to be adjusting our draft board. So let's take a look at some of them. And here are some of the free agents that are still out there, Davis. So you didn't miss anything with these names as far as pitchers are concerned. Carlos Rodon of the previously, or maybe currently, of the Chicago White Sox, a pretty strong name that eventually is going to end up somewhere. Didn't like any of the offers that he was getting. Clayton Kershaw, we saw him this weekend in Los Angeles watching his buddy Matthew Stafford win a Super Bowl, but Kershaw's status for the opening of the season very much in jeopardy. UC Kikuchi actually showed some decent things with Seattle, and so maybe there's a chance he goes somewhere else and has better success. And then naturally, like a lot of reasons with fantasy, like if we're playing in these old school rotisserie leagues, Davis, where it's 5x5 categories and Kenley Jansen is a closer, he's not the only one. There already is going to be a ton of turnover at the closer position. We know at the end of April and May, like half the teams are using different closers. But Jansen is a huge fantasy chip, because wherever he ends up immediately increases the likelihood of his value and the team that he's on. It also changes completely with the Dodgers. The one thing that I can tell you, like you always talk about the early drafts in baseball have Liam Hendricks getting draft closers, the top closers, if you consider them, Davis, are being drafted higher right now than in the history of fantasy baseball because of the uncertainty. Nobody knows who's going to be the closer. And if you're putting money in a draft, you want to make sure that you get a guy on a team. I still think that's a terrible strategy, by the way, horrible strategy. But like Hendricks is going second round in some NFBC drafts right now.
I saw, even more than that, I saw someone doing the Draft Masters, which are $150 on on the NFBC. I think they even have higher stakes ones in that as well. I saw someone start at the 1-2 turn double closer, which feels insane to me. I mean, that feels that I get the thought, which is that you gotta lock down closers. You want the good ratios and everything. But, you know, this is a contest. These contests right now in the NFBC, they're going to be open until the first pitch is thrown. There are going to be people drafting with way better information than you in 2 months. So I would actually say right now your strategy should kind of go the other way. You should just be throwing crazy darts at relief pitchers later on in drafts. You know, you should just be taught, oh, this guy, I like this guy. This guy, you know, needs X, Y, or Z to happen, and then he'll end up closing games. Like, I think that's the way better strategy as opposed to overreacting to the scarcity of saves in the beginning. You are right, though. Carlos Rodon, 2.37 ERA in 123 innings last year. I mean, it was the best year of his career. He was phenomenal. He is going to when the free agency market opens again, he is going to make lots of money based off that performance. And, you know, I wonder if the season gets pushed back at all. I do want, you know, gets pushed back, gets shortened to 100 games or whatever. I wonder if that's actually good for Kershaw, you know, because we know he's rehabbing that injury right now. So I do wonder if the season getting pushed back a little bit is actually good for his value.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, that's one player that could be benefited. Verlander, you know, definitely another one of those guys who signed with the Houston Astros. All right, here are some of the top remaining free agents in terms of the hitters. And look, as soon as the lockout is over, everyone wants to know where Freddie Freeman is going to land. Like, that's going to be the number one thing. I still believe he goes back to Atlanta, but naturally, you know, LA is going to try and throw a lot of money at him. Some other teams will too. Anthony Rizzo, who is on the back nine, to say the least, I would guess, Davis, of his career, you know, really was not great with New York. I'm not sure what he'll probably get a 1-year deal with someone. Kyle Schwarber actually got some really good offers right before things got locked out. He's going to get a multi-year offer from someone and probably do pretty well. He was fantastic last year, especially with Washington. Naturally, Carlos Correa, that's a huge fantasy name. Trevor Story is a huge fantasy name. You know, does he go back to Colorado? Does he go somewhere else? And then another factor here, too, is, you know, Chris Bryant is there, too. Let's not forget, Davis, where Chris Bryant played last year. Nobody wants anybody on the Giants offensively. Like, those are nice little platoon guys and NL-only leagues, but, like, you don't want your best hitter to be a member of the San Francisco Giants just because of the way that park is. So that's a big factor where Chris Bryant ends up, too. So, as you said, it is a little messy right now.
Well, Story, I think just as much as Chris Bryant, but in the opposite way, you know, if there's any chance that Story goes back to the Rockies, and I think that, you know, people who are much smarter than me are going to be able to do adjustments on Trevor Story's, you know, his K rates and his batted ball data and everything, wherever Trevor Story ends up signing, because so much of his production was sensitive to where he played, which was Coors Field. Big difference for Trevor Story, you know, like, you know, signing with an AL East team versus an NL West team, right? NL West, horrible division, other than Coors Field to hit the ball in, whereas, you know, in the American League. And also, you know, another wrinkle to all this, we haven't even talked about it, is the universal DH gives these guys, specifically Freeman and Rizzo, and Schwarber, actually, way more places to sign. I mean, Schwarber should only be a DH, right? And so that meant that there were only 15 teams in baseball that would have paid him money. But now we have all these NL teams. NL teams got to get a DH, right? You have to bring in a DH. You can't be throwing out, you know, your backup shortstop to DH in these games. So, like, that's a big wrinkle and element of free agency as well.
Yep, and in terms of outfielders, the list isn't thick, but there are enough multi-year deals to hand out. You know Castellanos is going to get a huge deal, Davis. Conforto could be helped a lot when the lockout ends because no draft pick compensation applied to him. Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, Eddie Rosario will get a 1-year deal with someone. Nelson Cruz does not qualify in the outfield, but is there any reason to think that he would slow down? I'm not sure.
No, Nelson Cruz, I mean, it feels like he's going to be hitting dingers till he's 50. So, and Castellanos, another guy, by the way, not a good outfielder, going to get paid a bunch of money with these new DH rules.
Yep, no doubt. All right, so that's our look at some of the potential free agents that are out there. When we come back next, It's time to play a little fantasy or reality. Of course, look, the last two teams that have played in their own house for the Super Bowl ended up winning. Could that happen again next year? We'll answer that for you. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back, Davis. I hate to put you on the spot, but it's Valentine's Day. And now, I don't know if you would consider me fortunate or unfortunate, but my anniversary just, you know, always falls right around Valentine's Day. So we tend to, like, package them up and do things. Now, I will say that this year is a little bit different because we did go out Saturday night, had a nice dinner, did all that. And then tonight, as it happens, we're going back to the Hard Rock here in Hollywood, Florida, to see Rod Stewart. I know your favorite artist of all time, Rod Stewart.
I know Rod Stewart, Forever Young, right?
Wow, look at you. Very, very impressive. Yes, yes. So we are going to do that tonight for Valentine's Day. Very romantic night out with Rod Stewart. I don't know, Davis. I gotta send it over to you here. What's do you have a plan? What do you normally do on Valentine's Day? I know the world is a little different these days, but what do you got for tonight?
You know, normally we just do a really good dinner. We'll just go out to we both really like Italian food. St. Louis has loads of really good, you know, kind of hole in the wall family owned Italian places. So got us a dinner reservation. And I know people are sort of split on if you should go out for Valentine's dinner or if you should do it at home, because, you know, restaurants are generally pretty full on Valentine's Day. A lot of the time it's like a preset menu, so you can only order, you know, a couple things relative, you know, the full menu is not open. But we, you know, we always sort of enjoy that. Got some decent gifts. But, you know, Valentine's Day is sort of weird because you have Christmas, so you probably just got your significant other, you know, something for right. Christmas. And then my partner's birthday is in April, so it's like, well, when do I want to do the big gift? Do I want to do big gift for Christmas? Do I want to do Valentine's Day? Do I want to do birthday? You know, it's kind of hard to say. I would definitely consider you fortunate that the anniversary and Valentine's Day are basically the same for you, because that's one day a year you don't have to rack your brain for a good gift.
Yeah, definitely the case this year in particular. My wife sort of said, let's let tonight be the gift to each other. I was like, yes, all right, I'm good. Yeah, beyond that. All right, now it's time for a little fantasy reality. We would wish, you know, happy Valentine's Day to Brett Levy and turn it over to him, but since he lost all his money in the casino last night, I am not sure he's got any money left to take his significant other out tonight. Here's Brett Levy in today's fantasy reality.
Yeah, I learned a tough lesson last night, Craig. But, you know, good news is I'm awake today and I can live another day. So we'll go to fantasy or reality and start off with next year's Super Bowl, because for 54 straight seasons, no home team played in their home stadium. And then the last 2 years, both teams have played in their home stadium and won. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. The Arizona Cardinals will be the third consecutive team to host a Super Bowl. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I'm gonna sell this one. I don't think that there's a lot going on with the Arizona Cardinals that would make me feel really bullish about them heading into next season. I'd love to be wrong, as longtime viewers and listeners of the show would know. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Kyler Murray, but. So I'm going to say fantasy on that. What's interesting to me about this is that I believe this is the first time since the waste management became like the party golf event, right? Where bachelor parties go there, and it's and maybe I'm wrong, right? Maybe the Super Bowl was in Phoenix like 4 years ago, and I just don't remember. But the Super Bowl and the Waste Management, same weekend, same city. I've always wanted to do the Waste Management for a weekend, you know, go with my buddies, get an Airbnb, do the whole thing, do the whole experience. And so it seems like a good time to do it next year with the Super Bowl being in town. And Craig, do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea? Would it be better to go a year where the Super Bowl is not there?
The Phoenix, Glendale area Super Bowl and National Championship, it was one of the better spots that I've been to in terms of travel. I would far rather go to the Super Bowl next year than the one that just passed, without a question, in Los Angeles.
Oh, LA sucks.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about the traffic. You're getting right to where you want to go. Not crowded, very open space. Cool nightlife there too. Much bigger. Now, see, the dynamic for me is that Vegas is where the Super Bowl's in 2 years from now, and I really want to go to that one. So I'll have to think through next year. But I am with you for sure. Preference-wise, this year versus next, no question. Arizona puts on a great show, too. The people there really care about the Super Bowl and the city, too. I went to the championship where Ohio State played Florida, and I covered that game. It was an amazing experience. We had a great time. So this is a fantasy. There's only one way that this becomes a reality. Actually heard somebody, I think when I was driving around on radio, make the suggestion that Kyler Murray, the only possibility that this gets fixed in a way that could work for both teams, how about this one? Think about this, Davis, is if Arizona trades Murray to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
That was the one that was like, whoa, you know, let me think about that here for a sec. Would Arizona do that? Would they do? I think they may. And I think Green Bay may.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Right,
like I can see both sides doing it. Yeah,
that's the one trade. I don't know how they would make it work financially, but Arizona does their Brady thing. You know, they just, hey, we got to go for it. This is it. We got a chance to get Rodgers. Green Bay, the scenario, well, love stinks. Now here we go. We got Kyler. Even if it doesn't work out this year, we know we got our quarterback for the future. I don't know. That was the scenario that it was interesting for me. But fantasy, because unless that happens, there's no way, Brett. So fantasy.
All right. No way it's happening unless they trade for Aaron Rodgers. I got it, Craig. But how about our next question? Because Antonio Brown, who was at the Super Bowl last night, also had his gloves from his infamous running off the field incident at MetLife Stadium sell for $16,900. It actually went for a little bit over that. It was a silent auction. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. You would buy a souvenir from a low light, meaning the exact opposite of a highlight, so running off the field and ending your career. Feel like that qualifies as a low light. Craig, is this a fantasy or reality?
I'm like the wrong person to ask because I do have a lot of memorabilia, signed items, and things that I've collected over the last 40 years. A lot of it, with me, buying memorabilia isn't something I normally do. I just, like, there's this weird block that I have between buying and actually, like, having somebody sign something or give something to me. I'm probably not the right person to ask. But if I had the disposable income and I certainly didn't care, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of funny. Now, for this one in particular, I would never do. Like, I have nothing to do with Antonio Brown, so it wouldn't be him. But, like, I'm trying to think, like, as an example, a low light in the history of sports. And, you know, Brett, you're familiar with this, but, like, Bill Buckner's glove from 1986. Absolutely, I think that would be cool. I was a Bill Buckner fan regardless, but, of course, the ball went through his legs, and the rest is history. Mets win the World Series in 86. I absolutely would take that glove and buy that glove of Bill Buckner's. And so, you know, the shorts that Chris Webber had on when he called timeout, yeah, and they lost to Michigan. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that there is definitely a market for that. So, yes, I would, if I was going to buy memorabilia, buy a low light with no issue. But I do want to say very clearly, it would not have been this one with Antonio Brown. I think whoever bought those gloves for $16,000 immediately lost $10,000 on that purchase.
Yeah, total reality for me, I would buy a souvenir from a lowlight. But fantasy, I would not. I don't care about Antonio Brown at all. But if you really think about it, a low light for one team or one individual is the highlight for the other team, right? So I'm thinking about this like I would buy the ball that Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew Emmanuel Sanders to lock up the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl victory. I would buy Lucas Duda's glove when he missed the throw home when Eric Hosmer went to go score the winning run. I'd buy Matt Harvey's jersey when he asked to stay in too long against the Kansas City Royals, and basically we never heard from him again. You know, I'd buy Chris Winkie's helmet from the game where the Oklahoma Sooners beat them in the 2001 BCS National Championship. So I give you, because if you think about it, right, the low light for the losing team, that mistake is the highlight that allowed the other team to win. So I think this is a total reality. I would buy a souvenir from a low light.
All right. And our last question of the day, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. But every year we hear that the Super Bowl commercials are the best commercials, you know, jam-packed with celebrities. People spend tons and tons of money for these ad slots. So, you know, obviously good to make a good commercial, a good impression. But last night, the commercials were very hit or miss. So, Davis, we'll start with you. The Super Bowl commercials were a letdown. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, I would say 95% of the time, I don't even really remember the commercials. You know, I'm on my phone, I'm getting my tweets off about the game. Like, they don't even really impact me. But you know what? There is one commercial from last night's Super Bowl that I think I will remember for a long time. I bet Craig knows it. Well, two, really. But the one was, I thought the Coinbase commercial was really good. People get annoyed by the stupid crypto crap, right? People hate the Matt Damon crypto one. They hated the LeBron James crypto one, right? But who could be annoyed by it's the callback to that episode of The Office. You scan it on your phone, you get entered to win some money. I thought the Coinbase commercial was really good. I also thought the Larry David FTX commercial was pretty good as well. And, you know, people were saying, oh, this is going to be the crypto Super Bowl. There's going to be an NFT with Eminem at halftime. That didn't end up happening. And, of course, some people hate it because they hate the crypto stuff. But I did think the Coinbase commercial was very good.
I paid more attention to the commercials this year. I thought they were good. I thought, like, it felt like they were, like, gearing more toward me, though. Like, it was so strange. A lot of, you know, Sopranos, like, I didn't expect that. Austin Powers, I loved Austin Powers, and the fact that that was in there as well. The Coinbase one, of course, everyone putting their phone up to the... I already have a Coinbase account, so that wasn't going to help me, but putting the phone up to see what the commercial was all about. I thought the crypto.com one was really good too with LeBron James. So, I mean, let down, no. I actually thought a lot of them were pretty good. The car ones to me were the ones that were a little bit boring. Like, they just kind of were dragging, like get me to the end, get me to the end of this spot. But beyond that, I thought they were pretty cool and I enjoyed them. So, no, I would say fantasy. I would say that they were not a letdown, but how many cryptocurrency commercials were there? Four?
I think six. Because there were two or three crypto.com ones. There was I guess the eToro one. I don't know if that one counts, but certainly more than there had ever been before.
No doubt. All right, we'll take a quick break here on the show. We've got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. And then we are done for the day here on this Monday. Football season's over, but we roll on here on Fantasy Sports Today. So make sure you stay on the grid. We got plenty more to come.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Before we go, we give you 60 seconds of commentary on something happening in the world of sports or fantasy sports. And to lead us off here on this day after the Super Bowl, we turn it over to Davis Matic in the Sports Grid 60.
So I know that the Los Angeles Rams won that game, and the where no one's going to talk about this for the next 6 months, that Sean McVay basically did an F-minus job as the head coach. I know that it's all going to be forgotten. Winners write the history books. When the result goes your way, you get to do whatever you want. But Sean McVay needs to hire an offensive quality control guy, a game management guy, an in-game data analyst. The Rams organization needs to do something because they were on the precipice of losing in an extremely embarrassing fashion after Odell Beckham went out of that game. And they're with all the tools that these guys could theoretically have at their hands, there's no excuse for 20 carries for 39 yards on first and second down. So my plea is just, please, Sean McVay, figure it out.
The NFL season ending is always a little bittersweet, I think, for people who like sports, because in general, they only pay attention to the NFL. I think there's a lot of people out there like that. There are some that love baseball as well. And I would say that this opportunity of having no baseball, having no spring training, should open up some people's eyes and ears to some other things, potentially golf, maybe some NBA basketball, college basketball as well. And so that's the way that I'm going to approach it over the next few weeks with no Major League Baseball, at least until they end the lockout. I'm going to dive into some of the other sports and make sure that here on this show that we have you covered on everything. And just because baseball decides they don't want to play, we still will here on Sports Grid, that's for sure. I want to thank, of course, our friends at LTN for getting us on the air. Thanks to Danny and Ryan, of course, for my producer, Brett Levy, and my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Going to take a few days off here, folks, but I'll be back with you next week. You'll have Davis and George the rest of the week here on Sports Grid on Fantasy Sports Today.